Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt at your fingertips now. This is the broadcast for December the 4th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two. Our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Becky Akers with us. She's a well-known anarchist. And she's the author of two incredible books. One called Hailstorm, about Nathan Hale, one of the greatest patriots America has ever known. And Abducting Arnold, the revolutionary new novels. The Abducting Arnold story tells you the other side of Benedict Arnold. Was he as bad of a guy as they want you to believe? Read and find out. Search for them online. Becky Akers, author, and then Hailstorm, or Abducting Arnold. Now, when I say that Becky is a well-known anarchist, let's be very clear. We're not just talking about this idea that everybody's going to melt down and hate everybody and there's just going to be mob rule and everybody fighting and just flat-out anarchy in the sense that y'all think of when we say that word. That's not what a true anarchist in her view is. A true anarchist in her view would be, and again, I don't mean to put words in her mouth, I'll articulate it, and then she can either add to it or correct me or whatever she feels. A true anarchist in her view would be somebody who says, look, government's flat-out evil. Period. End of paragraph. There's just no two ways about it. Government is flat out evil and it has no authority. And the individual, the sovereign individual, should behave properly and, is under God. And that sovereign individual then is free to make contracts, to negotiate, and everything that can be done governmentally can be done the freedom way, which would be individually. You create contracts, you work with one another, you set up systems in the private sector, you work together, and there's ways to solve all these without the force of government. That's her view of an anarchist understanding. Have I misstated anything, Becky?
No, Sam, and I thank you very much for such a wonderful explanation and also for your lovely introduction. It was very kind and gracious. As an anarchist, you know, the term anarchist got kind of hijacked by the communists and Marx. And especially at the turn of the 20th century, people equated anarchy with going around and blowing up buildings. And that is not at all what anarchy represents. And let me also add that the communists completely misrepresent the word anarchy and misappropriated it because it literally means in Greek, no ruler. Okay, no government. Well, the communist system will never, ever get to where there is no ruler. You will always require a strong central government. Why? Because communism is against human nature. Nobody works for the betterment of society as a whole. Nobody goes to work and sacrifices his time to feed everybody, to house everybody. He does it to better himself and to better his family. And that's just built into us by our Creator. We're not going to get away from that aspect of human nature. So when you have a government telling people everything is for the common good and you will not be able to keep the products of your labor, you're going to work and from each of you according to your ability and to each of you that's not ever, ever going to be a voluntary system. You are always going to require a huge phalanx of bureaucrats and enforcers and army and cops to make sure that people are doing what they're supposed to do. So the point I'm trying to make is that communism will never yield anarchy, first of all. And secondly, anarchy is not blowing up buildings. It simply means without government, without a ruler.
And the idea of those who believe in the doctrine of anarchy, understand they're not saying that mob rule or that no government means that it's just free for all in society. They're not suggesting that. There is a moral compass to a true anarchist, which says there is accountability to God. And secondly, then, believes and has faith in the individual to say, we can make contracts and we can create private institutions and we can do things ourselves that act as a check against tyranny, that act as a stopgap against abuse. And it, am I articulating this fairly?
Yes, Sam, and always, in every single case, whether we're talking about cops or whether we're talking about an army or whether we're talking about money, coining money, printing money, or whether we're talking about any other, quote, service that government says it can offer, in every case, the private sector, individual entrepreneurs, will do a better job of it than government ever could. I had a very interesting experience last night. My husband and I attend a Bible study for our church, and one of the women at the Bible study is a very kind and caring landlord. She kind of blows sky high the stereotype that government has put out, that landlords are cold and heartless and all they want is just to take your money and that's it. Okay, she has a tenant in one of her buildings who is a retarded woman. And this woman has no family at all. Her brother recently died and there is no one to take care of her. The family also had in its possession, her brother did, $300,000 to care for this woman. And when he died, he had neglected to put her into, I don't know if he died suddenly or what, I didn't ask, but he had not put her into an institution, you know, in an assisted living. She was living with him, okay? She is now alone in the apartment. Because she has no family, she's been turned over to a city agency, and surprise, surprise, the bureaucrat who is supposed to take care of her has instead pocketed the $300,000. They're now administering that money, and he neglects her completely to the point that she is hungry. She hasn't bathed in over a year. No one is looking in on her. No one is taking care of her except for her landlord. And the landlord was telling us all about it last night and requesting prayer for this poor woman, okay? The landlord takes her a couple hundred dollars worth of groceries every week. The landlord offered to give her a bath. She refused. And the landlord said, unlike a government bureaucrat, I don't want to force her. I can't just walk into her home. I mean, it was such a brilliant contrast to the abuse and the ineptitude and the outright criminality of government. Now, this is, as I admit, this is anecdotal evidence, but if you look at statistics, they will show the exact same thing across the board. Private people who care and are concerned are far better at manipulating and arranging society and taking care of us and taking care of each other than any bureaucrat ever will be.
And so there we go. That's I wanted to highlight that because I want people to understand when we introduce Becky as an anarchist, we're not introducing somebody that wants to blow up buildings. We're not introducing somebody that wants to, create mayhem in the streets or whatever, or who just, we are talking about someone who dearly cares about those around her, dearly cares about God's laws, sincerely wants to do everything she can to truly have a wonderful, free, safe, stable society. And I really think that's at the heart of what you're articulating, and you just have a different view than others, which is that, others believe there's got to be some force somewhere or it'll run off the rails. And so what I find interesting is your view is not acceptable at the table. In fact, all polite, civil folks would never let that view come to the table because that's just crazy.
Right.
But yet we let the tyrannical thugs sit at the table. So the abortionist, the murderer can sit at the table. But the guy that believes in the white race can't. The, quote, communist and socialist can run for office and sit at the table and celebrate. But the guy that believes in anarchy or the Constitution, hey, they can't even sit at the table. They're just ne'er-do-wells, the great unwashed, the flyover country. And we've created this court of public opinion that has destroyed all thought in America, it seems, Becky.
Absolutely, and I think that a couple of things are going on here and contributing to that, Sam. First of all, most Americans spend 12, even 13 or longer years in public schooling, and the public schools are nothing but Marxist indoctrination. I'm appalled when I read news articles that will mention the curriculum or what's going on. I mean, these schools are deliberately constructed to produce unquestioning obedience to the state and to inculcate in people the ideas of Karl Marx, okay? One good example of that is the penchant and the worship of democracy, okay? Democracy is nothing more than mob rule. We are not a democracy. We are a republic, very specifically because in a democracy, there are no rights, okay? If enough people vote that you're going to die, you're going to die. You have no right to life. This is why we're not a democracy. And yet public schools, you know, never, ever present that. They talk about America as though we are a democracy, and they inculcate in kids the idea that you have to obey, that we're all in this together, we're all watching out for one another, and bureaucrats and politicians are wonderful people because they steal from the rich and they give to the poor.
Now, here's the interesting lie. They claim we're a democracy, and we are not. We never have been, and I pray we never will be, but a democracy is the anarchy they speak of.
That's right. That's right. It is the anarchy of Karl Marx, where we go around and we burn down things, and we're watching progressives do this now. They're burning down our moral code. They are burning down our values. They are destroying things to create a system in which nothing is outside the state.
All right. Well, there was a transgender person, and they were involved in a big old lawsuit. And, well, I'll tell you about it in seconds. Becky Akers with us, ladies and gentlemen. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
All right, back with you live. Becky Akers riding shotgun today, ladies and gentlemen. Check out her award-winning novels immediately. Great Christmas Presents and More. Hailstorm, about Nathan Hale. Incredible novel. One of the greatest patriots ever known, Nathan Hale. Also, Abducting Arnold, the other side of the Benedict Arnold story you probably never even heard. Check it out. Phenomenal. Good reads, if you will. So, this transgender, this guy that thinks he's a woman, literally sued over bikini wax. So went in, tried to get a bikini wax or whatever, and people were like, you're crazy, we're not doing this. And well, he sued and said, you gotta, you know, wax me like you would anybody else. And well, now this whacked out transgender is lawsuit happy, going after gynecologists, Becky. Gotta take him into the gynecologist and put them up there in the stirrups, and I won't even go on. I'm just saying this is just as whacked out as it gets. And they're literally, through their perversions, promoting democracy-style anarchy. They literally are at every turn, and they're blowing up every moral standard, every position that we held that was a time-tested God, family, country. They're blowing every single thing up, one core value, one moral issue at a time. Intentionally so, aren't they?
Yes, and what's going on here is that the family provides a bulwark against the state, okay? The family takes care of us. The family raises children. The family is supposed to take care of the elderly. Used to be grandparents moved in with younger members. And in the farming community, everybody pitched in. There was all kinds of help, et cetera. What we have replacing that now is the state. The state wants your kids. And here I'm in New York City today, and here the push is to get kids into kindergarten and all-day daycare from the state at younger and younger ages. So the state claims kids at then Social Security, with the word socialized right in its title. We've got that going on for the elderly so that families no longer are taking care of them. All the family's functions are being subsumed by the state, okay? And this has been a slow, gradual process because if the communists had started out with that 100 years ago when they were taking over the country, if they had gone full bloom, people would have rebelled against it. But we had a gradual introduction of the state being substituted for the family. And now what they're doing with all of this, quote, gender nonsense, and it is sex. Gender is a grammatical word that refers to grammar, not to our sex. But what they're trying to do with this sexual confusion is finish off, they've already pretty much destroyed the family, but finish off traditional marriage. Get rid of it, and destroy that bulwark against the state. So that's why you see such a push from various politicians to legitimize sodomy, to act as though it's the same thing as traditional marriage, to act as though sodomites are just fine and dandy folks, and they're just like the rest of us. This is patently untrue. If you look at any of the barometers of horrible results, like suicide rates, drug use, drunkenness, they are all through the roof for sodomites, and they're just as bad for transsexuals, okay? By the way, Sam, not many people know this, but this transsexual nonsense came right out of Weimar Germany, okay, in the 1920s. That's where the first transsexual operation took place. So we are copying the debauchery that led directly to Hitler. Okay.
And so what you've got is the eugenics movement to dumb down one group of people, to escalate another group of people to be the elites, and they're getting rid of the middle. And you're either going to be really unable to think for yourself and dumbed down and confused and manipulated and literally sexually changed. Or you're going to be an elitist, and they're really using eugenics for this agenda, and it's being codified in some of the things we see, these transgender surgeries and therapies. You see it everywhere, but it really is this eugenics movement that's been going on that was under Hitler, and that we were partners in that. He just went a little too fast, and we got scared and backed out and acted like we weren't his partner, but we were involved in all of it right from the get-go. It has smackings or, leanings of racism and a pure race and all this kind of stuff. And we literally jettisoned Hitler, but we just went underground with it. It hasn't stopped at all. And now the partners that we have are twice as evil.
That's right. And so this whole push to obliterate the nuclear family and to say that other arrangements are just as good. Sodomites also have a very poor record of staying together. Most of them break up within a few weeks or months. I've seen some studies that say most sodomites have upwards of 1,000 sexual partners in a lifetime, 1,000. It's quite ironic to see all these pushes for homosexual marriage, if such a thing could even exist, because the homosexuals themselves don't want it. They just want, that's part of the allure of the lifestyle. There's no responsibility, no commitment. You just go from one bedmate to the next, okay? They don't want it. It's the politicians and the bureaucrats who are pushing for it. And the reason they're pushing for it is because it destroys the family, destroys one of the bulwarks against the state. Another reason that, or another way that they'll destroy institutions that stand against the state is the free market. Okay, when we are free to go and spend our money, we're not under the state's control. That offers us a wonderful bulwark against political power. That's another reason that you will see it, you know, with the inculcation of Marxism. That's why you see constant attacks on the free market. And let me correct another misperception, Sam. We no longer, and we probably never did, have a truly free market in this country. We have had a mixed economy. It's been exceedingly mixed the last 150 years. But when people start blaming the stuff you'll see in the headlines now, blaming capitalism for America's poor economy, no. The proper blame belongs with the communists and Marxists who have degraded our economy. There are so many controls on prices now, so much government regulation that hampers companies and hampers corporations, even individuals. We are so hampered. We are forced to use a valueless paper money. Okay, we don't have a free economy, and we haven't had for 150 years.
No question about it. Hey, Kurt, other than that, it's not so bad, huh?
Great point, Sam. Yeah, you're right on target.
By the way, Melania's in the news. And Melania Trump unveils her, quote, stunning White House Christmas decorations for 2019. And I guess she's getting relentlessly attacked. Did you see this, Kurt?
I missed this, but
did you see that, Becky?
I'm not surprised.
Yes, I did.
Now, what do you think of this? I'm not really for, you know, government, you know, spending our tax dollars on Christmas decorations on one hand. On the other hand, I'm saying, you know what, at least she's celebrating Christmas and Christ, and she should be free to do so as an individual. And but she's being attacked because it's too patriotic and too Christmassy, both no-nos in the democracy that they're trying to move us to.
And the Marxism, Sam. You know, Marx was always, and especially during World War II, his interpreter Stalin never made any bones about this being an international movement. That's one reason you see progressives today arguing for open borders. Let me just take a digression from that, if I may. Open borders is actually constitutional. The Constitution never empowers the federal government to control anyone's coming and goings in and out of the country. However, progressives arguing that are not arguing because they like the Constitution. They want to get rid of the Constitution. They're arguing it because it's a Marxist position that communism should be international, should take over the world, should subsume all national identity into the communist ideal. Okay, so that's what's going on with this attack on patriotism. We're not supposed to be patriotic. We're supposed to be loyal to Marxism. And that's why Melania and her husband attract so much anger and ire from progressives, because they are trying to save and nurture patriotism.
And I support her patriotic efforts. I support her efforts to celebrate Christmas. I support her leadership. You know, she's not perfect, but she has come from a foreign nation, and she knows something about the loss of freedom, doesn't she?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I encourage everyone listening, get online and read the stories of people who have fled Eastern European communism, and people who have fled Cuban communism, and people who have fled other communist regimes, Chinese and various Asian countries. They all have things in common, i.e., they all talk about the horrific abuse ordinary people suffered, that their families suffered, and how free they felt once they got here.
Speaking of that, we're going to talk about George Soros coming up. Kurt's got the story. Headline says Soros' group eclipses $70 million spent on lobbying since the Donald took office. Liberty Roundtable Live, Becky Akers, our guest. By the way, get her two novels, incredible Christmas gifts. Abducting Arnold's one of them, right? Check it out. And Hailstorm's the other.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
We discussed Syria. We discussed the Kurds. We discussed numerous things, and we're getting along very well.
That's President Trump at the NATO summit in London saying an unscheduled meeting with the president of Turkey a short time ago went very well. The president also speaking about the ceasefire between Syria and Turkey.
The border and the safe zone is working out very well, and I give a lot of credit to Turkey for that. The ceasefire is holding.
Back here at home, the House Judiciary Committee is holding its first public hearing on the possible impeachment of the president today. Four legal scholars will testify about whether Trump's actions meet the Constitution's impeachment standard. Democrats accuse Trump of abusing his power by pressuring Ukraine to investigate Democrats. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Our prime responsibility is protecting our families, but we also need to protect our families' assets. For years, I've studied economics in the Bible and as a financial professional. I'm Dr. Tom Barrett. I found gold to be the best way to protect assets from a government gone wild. Gold is ridiculed by leftist elites who say it's old-fashioned and not suitable for financial planning. But gold is anything but outdated. Smart families use it as part of their retirement plans. Gold has been the only universally recognized money since the beginning of time. Precious metals are the only money in the Bible, and they're the only constitutional money. Your paper money is just government IOUs backed by nothing. No paper money has ever survived. They crash on average in 27 years. The dollar will not be the first to defy this law of economics. Learn more at investmentgradegold.com. That's investmentgradegold.com for your free 10-10-10 financial survival plan.
Republican Congressman Devin Nunes is suing CNN for over $435 million, filing the suit against the network over a report it carried last month, linking him to a former Ukrainian prosecutor. He denies any impropriety.
The House Intelligence Committee, we are the oversight committee. We have Americans and foreigners contact us every single day with information. We take that information, you know, we see them somewhere, we listen, we say, hey, can you get this to the appropriate lawyer or staff member on the committee?
Nunes speaking there on Fox News. The Bishop of Buffalo, New York, Bishop Richard Malone, has resigned. That resignation coming nearly 2 years after Catholics in Western New York began demanding that he step down because of how he handled a clergy sex abuse scandal. The Vatican announcing today that Pope Francis has accepted Malone's resignation. You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, we got Sam Kurt and Becky Akers on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. We got to rock and roll. Kurt's giving me a ton of news, and we got to get to it. Soros Group eclipses $70 million spent on lobbying since Donald Trump took office. Spent more in the past 2.5 years than the last 14 years combined, Kurt.
Well, and you got to ask yourself a simple question. Why do they waste money like that? This is what the conservative I guess you could say business types would say, why does Soros waste money like that? But I guarantee you, Sam, that Mr. Soros puts the $70 million in, he's going to get a nice return on that investment, if you will.
Yeah, because he'll promote democracy and, you know, basically destroy everything we hold dear with that kind of money.
Yeah.
And you know,
that's why we suggest to folks to take a lesson from him and then say, hey, don't neglect the investment you need to make in the defense of God, family, and country.
Amen to that. Anyway, George has put in plenty of cash. But remember, Donald and George are good friends. When Donald was asked about George, Donald said, hey, lay off George. Leave him alone, you know? So I find that kind of interesting. On one hand, Donald's done a lot of good, and I appreciate it. But on the other hand, I'm concerned about how he rose to power. I'm concerned about who his friends are. You know, guys like Jeffrey Epstein and guys like George Soros and people like Hillary Clinton used to love Hillary and Bill, you know. And so you got to be very, very, very careful, folks. These people, they'll say or do anything to get into power. That's for sure. Now, there's a 9-year-old genius I guess he's going to graduate from the university. CNN, Kurt, they're feeding this poor kid to the wolves early, aren't they?
Well, yeah, he's in Belgium, and a 9-year-old kid, Jack Guy, writes this piece for CNN. We rarely see anything good from CNN, but I thought this was kind of a cool story. He's going to gain a bachelor's degree at the tender age of 9. He's there in Eindhoven University of Technology. You know, this is you know, across the pond. And it's a tough course, even for students of an average graduate age, they say. But staff has described him as simply extraordinary. His parents, you know, they tell about different things. The mom said, hey, I did eat a lot of fish during the pregnancy. But I guess that makes your brain, you know, work better, I suppose, or whatever. But
I'm just afraid they're going to indoctrinate this poor kid flat out into communism, as Becky wisely pointed out.
Good point, Sam.
You got genius communists running around is all that'll amount to. Although it is, you know, impressive when a little kid is that intelligent. I just pray the kid gets a true family life and it truly gets to be a kid, but they're going to obliterate that in their quest for stardom as well. Sad to say. All right, I got good news, though. A federal court appeal rules that a ban on pregame prayer violates free speech, Kurt. This is actually a good news piece.
I mean, imagine, you know, a federal court saying that, hey, it's a violation when you force people not to be able to pray. You know, I mean, that's cheers, right, Sam?
What do you think of that, Becky? The court actually ruled that, hey, you can't put a ban on a pregame prayer.
Well, I think there's something else that underlies this that's more important principle, not that prayer isn't the most important thing on earth. The principle being private property. The NFL and other big leagues, I know, take lots of tax dollars. They shouldn't. We should all be outraged at that. This is nothing but corporate welfare for the very wealthy. So the fact that they are taking taxes kind of defeats my argument, but what I would like to suggest is that the individual owner of property gets to decide what's going to be done on his property and what isn't. So pretend for a moment that we live in a freer world and that the NFL and other sports leagues must rely on ticket prices and generating fans for their income, not our taxes, okay? In that case, if the stadium owner who's renting it out to them says, look, you can't have any prayer. I'm an atheist. I don't want it. Then that's what we do. And they'll have to negotiate that in the contract to rent, and they'll have to arrive at an agreement. On the other hand, if another owner of a stadium says, you know, I'm a Christian and I demand that you pray before, again, that would be worked out. But what we have is a Marxist system where government controls it. Government runs roughshod over the rights of the property owners. And in that case, what happens is people fight over whose viewpoint is going to prevail. That's what we're seeing with this court case. Right now, the football has been kicked back into the Christians' half, and they're going to try and hang on to it. Excuse me, but they probably won't. Excuse me. They'll probably wind up getting it taken away from them again by atheists and communists. So atheism and Marxism is a recipe for constant conflict in society so that we, quote, need a strong central government to settle our disputes instead of arriving at peaceable means ourselves.
So the point is prayer is vitally important for liberty and people should be free to pray. That's true. A God-given unalienable right of free speech and the ability to pray is important, vitally so. But so are your property rights, ladies and gentlemen, and you can't ignore those principles. See, this is a well-thinking individual that wants liberty in the private sector. That's what you get from somebody who understands the true principle of an anarchist point of view. A whole lot different than they want you to believe what an anarchist really is. Now, Senator Mike Lee is in the news, and I guess he's among the co-chairmen of Trump's Utah reelection campaign. Interesting, as Lee joked, what he thinks on this, Kurt.
Well, yeah, it's a great point, and, you know, he's come a long way. He said, while I don't always agree with him, talking about the president, on every issue, I've been pleased with many things that he's done, so I'm going to support him. He said that he basically took kind of like a circular route. He was one of the main guys opposing Donald Trump's candidacy from Utah. Now he says, I think he's going to win, and he's going to win comfortably here in Utah. So,
and what he says that I find interesting is he says, you know, I don't agree with him on everything, but I've got to acknowledge a lot of the good that he's done.
Yep.
And I guess like Mike Pence, yeah, I'm not really a Trump guy. I'm just not. I like I said, I'm concerned about how he came to power in the first place. I don't believe the elites would have let it happen unless they wanted it to happen. And he's a very polarizing figure, and he's done a lot of good. I get it. But how much of that good, those small advancements, do we get that'll be absolutely obliterated when the enemy takes power? And an example of that is, you know, we had the Republicans that had control of everything, and they could have got a lot done, but they failed. And now the Democrats literally are you know, going to town violating the Constitution at every turn on these impeachment, you know, TV theater scenarios. Hey, if there's really impeachment reality, then let's use the proper venue to vet it, find out the truth, and create transparency. I don't care who it is. But when we let these activist judges run around and nobody's impeaching those guys, then we're going to run around and act like we got to impeach the Donald. Then we got to act like these socialists want to back the Constitution. Oh, man, we got to do everything constitutional now, they say. I mean, these people are crazy. But that's what you get when you don't realize we're a constitutional republic. When you think we're a democracy, hey, everything goes demon crazy. Everything runs off the rails, and you get anarchy in the sense that we've all been taught. You don't get a private sector group of people that want to work together under moral law, God's law, to put together a stable society. You get an absolute destroyed society where every faction's at war with one another, and the government seems to be at the helm of exploiting that, sad to say. But anyway, so Mike Lee and I guess Mike Pence were in Utah, and Mike Lee was joking, and Mike Pence was filing paperwork, huh, Kurt?
Well, yeah, Pence had to be the paperwork filer for the president's campaign. And one other thing that Mike Lee joked about, he says, I took the scenic route to joining you, you know, to supporting the president. He said, the president has done exactly what he said he would do, and my hat goes off to him for that. So,
well, and I don't think he's done exactly what he said. There's a lot of things that he's done that he said that are great, and I acknowledge those and highlight those on a regular basis. But I also say there's a lot of things he promised that he hasn't done. He said he was going to loosen the libel laws so that we could, hey, when CNN lies about us or the Southern Poverty Law Center lies about us, we could sue and stop them. He hasn't done anything on that front that I can see at all. When it comes to, he said he was going to get rid of gun-free zones first day gun-free zones gone. He hasn't done that. He needs to. So, again, he hasn't been perfect, but he has done a lot of good. And I'm not attacking him with those statements, but I am highlighting the truth. I'm not just defending Donald at all costs, and I'm not attacking him at all costs. What I'm talking about is principles and promises every time. And when they're kept, I celebrate. When they're not, I reject it. When they're wrong, I say so. When they're right, I embrace it to the best of my ability. And, man, it's a tough road of hope. But when you stand with principle, I think you can be on the right side of the issues. And it's not a personal attack or I'm going to defend the good old boys, or it's always straight down the line. I'm going to look at the constitutional principle. And if it's a good one, I'm going to embrace it. And if it's a bad one, I'm going to reject it. Washington, D.C. is in the news. And I guess they got this massive field that right now is empty. Kurt, what are they going to do with it?
Well, they're going to cover it over with some government-funded solar panels, Sam, and everybody's excited about it. Even something called the Catholic Energies, so the Catholics are jumping in there. But there's some flies in the ointment, if you will.
We'll talk about the flies in the ointment. We'll also get Becky Akers' take on it, by the way, because she always has a unique point of view. But Washington, D.C. wants to take a five-acre field and put up solar panels. Get Becky Akers' new novel, would you please? Abducting Arnold. Incredible book.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Live and on your radio, hard-hitting talk like this. Are you surprised we can even have these honest, open, candid discussions in America? They're trying to shut us down, I'll tell you that right now. We're pretty savvy, though. They're going to have a hard time because we're a little bit crazy. We believe in the sacred cause to the death. Pray they don't get violent, just saying. By the way, Washington, D.C., though, has 5 acres, man. It's an empty field right now. And these guys want to put 5,000 solar panels on the field. And it's interesting how they got this idea and what they're going to do, Kurt. But it's got flies in the ointment. Kurt's got details. And then I want Becky to respond to this. I don't know what you call this. Assertion? Effort? Agenda? By the District of Criminals, Kurt?
They say, right, this is from the Washington Post. Hannah Nathanson's the author and says, right now, it's a large empty field, but by next year, the five-acre plot in northeast Washington, D.C. is going to sprout 5,000 solar panels. They say it's the largest ground array the nation's capital has seen, a change wrought by local Catholic groups. Catholic Energies, a nonprofit organization that helps churches across the country switch to solar power, partnered with the field's owners. And that's Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., to build a system sufficient to keep the lights on in 260 homes for 1 year. They say the power produced will go back into the D.C. grid, and, you know, it goes on and on. But my problem, Sam, is, you know, as we've said so many times about these things, you know, it, once again, it's working on some, you know, government involvement to make the thing viable, if you will, to use that term. Now, there's some people that are upset because they, you know, they don't want this thing there, and, you know, they're coming and spraying weeds, and they don't want the weed spray, and they think it'll kill the bees or whatever else, and then but they're planning to put some, what they call a pollinator meadow under these solar panels, and they're going to have flowering plants, including black-eyed Susans, I guess not white-eyed Susans, but black-eyed, orange cone flowers, milkweed. Anyway, they're trying to hit all
peas.
The... That's right.
Hey, what do you say to this, Becky?
Hit all the right stuff.
Well, this is precisely why I despise government and hate politics, okay? What's going on here is that a influential group has managed to capture bureaucrats and politicians and get them on their side. And how do they do that? Money, okay? They don't have the right answer. They have one of many answers to how to generate power. But because they are able to give lots and lots of money to the people that the supine American public has said, you get to make our decisions for us. We're too lazy and too irresponsible to live free. So politicians and bureaucrats are going to decide things for us. Ergo, every special interest group in the country goes to the politicians and bureaucrats, gives them lots of money. There's what's called bribes in a free country. In our country, they're called campaign contributions. With bureaucrats, there are different ways to bribe them, but still it's the same thing. Okay, so these people then, whoever contributes, quote, the most money is the one who walks away with the contract, okay? So even though it's a Catholic group, nominally, what they did was they got a hold of the bureaucrats and politicians responsible for making these decisions, and they wined and dined them, and they no doubt gave them lots of gifts, all illegal. This is all perfectly legal, and swayed their minds and said to them, here's what we want to do, and it's going to generate lots of profits for us, and we'll split those profits with you. And the poor citizen serf is left in the dust as his rulers and corporate titans decide how he is going to spend his money. Now, I can assure you the homes they're going to wire to this system will have no choice. They can't say, I don't want to use this because it's not reliable. On cloudy days, I can't run my washing machine. They're not going to listen when they say, you know what, you've got the master switch there, and you just turned it off because too many people were pulling on this grid, but I need power. I've got to run my dialysis machine. Something like that. Okay, these are all realistic scenarios when we put politicians and bureaucrats in charge, and that's why I'm an anarchist. I want to make my own decisions. I don't want somebody else deciding how much power I use, when I'll use it, and what type I will use and then be forced to pay for.
Right. Now, one of the interesting things is I support these different energy alternatives. I support anybody who can build a better mousetrap for energy. I support, but what I don't support is government involvement and subsidizing and or special privileges at the trough to pit technologies against one another, to create winners and losers, to pull the lever in government at the favor of one at the expense of another, or at the favor of the few at the expense of the masses. Or, okay, I want these technologies to compete for dollars and cents among the American people on their own merits. And the ones that have the chutzpah to succeed, phenomenal. The ones that don't need to be shoved aside and let the best, quote, technology win. And government needs to stay out of it. But my problem is you get this government thing, you know, who's paying for these solar panels? How expensive is it? Who controls it? Who owns it? Who? Okay, and you get this big old scenario where government ends up playing the winners and losers game. They pick their winners, bet on them, and the rest of us have to be the loser by default. And that's why I reject a lot of these technologies. It's not that I'm rejecting the technology per se. I am rejecting how the technology is positioned and rolled out and subsidized and manipulated. An example is I don't believe if we didn't have government, we wouldn't even have the grid. And right now we might all be on our own private solar farms or generators, or we might have little teeny neighborhood power stations. There's a gazillion ways it could have gone about, but we wouldn't be connected to this antiquated grid that's become a security risk. But because we all backed the government plan, quote, the only plan they claimed, we've accepted the lie and now we're paying the piper for it. And so I think that this, we need to get government out of the way here. Kurt, you want to respond, and then Becky?
I mean, just imagine, Sam, having the government stay out of different markets or every market and only doing the things it's supposed to do based on the Constitution. Wow.
As long as fake money exists, and as long as the Education Department exists, as long as the IRS exists, hey, they won't ever rein in anything. Don't forget that. Becky?
I loved your analysis there, Sam, and I was going to remind everybody that we're on our current grid because of government. At the turn of the 20th century, any industry that was getting going in America, such as aviation, such as the utilities, such as manufacturing, all came under progressive regulation. Okay, progressives were in power, Theodore Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, and they were very, very keen to turn the American government, that we've got quotes from them saying in so many words, they hate the Constitution, we need to get away from it, we need to have progressive politicians who will rule for the people's good. Okay, now that sounds, that last bit there sounds like, okay, they were worried about people's welfare, but that wasn't it at all. They simply wanted more power for the state, more power for them and their friends were politicians, okay? And so they unilaterally gave monopolies on power to various utility companies, and that is exactly what Sam is referring to when he says we're paying the piper now. Okay, because we abdicated responsibility for making our own decisions on what power we would use and how we would use it, because we allowed bureaucrats and politicians to step in with false promises that they would protect us. You know, this new electricity, it's dangerous. People could die. We'll protect you by making laws and regulations. We who know nothing about power will oversee the entrepreneur who does understand electricity, and we'll make sure he doesn't kill you. They never explained how they were going to do this. And in fact, what they did then was pass all kinds of stupid regulations that did nothing but hamper the power companies from being more productive, okay? And what we're doing now is, as Sam said, we are paying the cost for that.
And expect more of it, ladies and gentlemen. It will not stop anytime soon, because we're doubling down and tripling down on embracing this socialism. This communism, whatever term you want to use, they're fine to have either soft pedal or hard pedal. Same difference. All roads lead to the same hell. Pardon the phrase, but that's reality that we're facing. But I'll tell you this. A couple of 10-year-olds, they were in a government school, and they asked to be excused from the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer lessons. Kurt, what happened?
Well, I'm trying to remember this whole story.
All right, they got suspended. They got kicked out, buddy.
Well, hopefully they'll take that and never return, you know.
Amen. That's how it works in the tolerant government school, though, doesn't it, Becky?
Yeah, good point.
You know, Sam, my firm belief is you should not have children if you cannot afford to either educate them at home or send them to a private school. The parents who are turning their kids over to these monsters in the public schools, I just really wonder. I mean, I don't even like little kids, and I wouldn't do that to a child.
Well, there you have it. I wouldn't put my kid in the government school either, but there you have it. I believe in homeschool or private school as well, and I think there are plenty of answers, and they don't cost a gazillion dollars. That's another thing people need to kind of realize. There are ways. You know, they say necessity's the mother of invention. That's why I say these technologies can come to the table, whether it be educational, whether it be to deal with energy, whether it be we need the free market, a true free market, if we want to be successful. And if we really want to turn America around, the only way you're going to get it done is by abolishing the Federal Reserve, abolishing the IRS, and shutting down the communist 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, government education. If you shut down government education so that people are not indoctrinated, you shut down the IRS so there's no Gestapo arm, and then you shut down the fake dishonest money called the Federal Reserve, the private banking cartel of thugs, you might actually have a prayer to save this country. If you leave those things in place, all you're doing is playing games around the edges, Becky.
Absolutely. And what we need even before that, Sam, is a revival in this country. We need Americans turning back to Jesus Christ. We need them acknowledging that they are sinners dependent on his mercy, that he alone can save us. Once we have that revival, the rest of this will follow, because communism and Marxism is founded on immorality. It inculcates greed, covetousness, and theft. Okay, that's what it relies on. And any righteous Christian will reject Marxism and communism as utterly evil. So that's what we need more than anything else right now. We need a revival.
There you have it. You got a wrap-up word, Kurt?
Well, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you got to have God, family, country. You got to return to God's laws, keep his commandments. He's the creator, the, you know, supreme commander of the universe. His commandments are not suggestions. You know, let's make America and the world great again.
Well, we got a lot of work cut out for us, ladies and gentlemen, but we can get it done. And it starts with celebrating Christmas. It starts with God, family, and country. And by the way, Becky's books make great Christmas gifts. Abducting Arnold, the other side of the Benedict Arnold story. Read it. Incredible novel. Abducting Arnold. The other one is called Hailstorm, about one of the greatest patriots America has ever known, the world has ever known, really, Nathan Hale. Hailstorm. Whether you get Hailstorm or Abducting Arnold or both, they make Christmas gifts for yourself and for everyone you know. Becky, we appreciate you as always. Thank you so much. Godspeed. Merry Christmas. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Sam. It's always a pleasure and a privilege. Merry Christmas.
For Becky Akers, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, we wish everyone a Merry Christmas. We don't hesitate to testify of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The only way we're going to get out of this mess, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you that right now. Thank you for being alongside for the ride. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today, live and on demand radio at your fingertips. We declare we can restore America. God save the Republic.